The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Biden, to the extent that he's in charge of anything right now, is rolling back Donald Trump's America First policies, not just at home, but abroad as well. And he's wasting no time, or the people behind him are wasting no time doing this. And it's really frightening and harkens back to, of course, what Barack Obama did, putting America, I wouldn't really say last, but definitely not first, so he could appease all of his friends overseas. Today with me tonight is Mike Duran, who is a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute and also was a White House advisor. I shouldn't say worked with, White House advisor for George W. Bush, in charge of the Middle East at the National Security Council. He's going to talk to us a little bit about Joe Biden's foreign policy plans, why we should be alarmed. So, Mike, thanks for coming on.
Hi, thanks for having me. Well, what a pleasure.
You had an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal earlier this month entitled, In the Mideast, Biden Returns to Abnormal. He revives the Obama policy of strengthening America's enemies and harming its friends. Why? Why is he doing this?
Great question. Let me just quickly describe what he's doing, and then I'll give you my theoretical explanation as to why he's doing it. When Obama went for the Iran nuclear deal, he wasn't just making an arms control agreement, like he said. He was actually repositioning the United States and the whole region and pulling it away from its traditional allies, three of which are the most important, and that's Israel, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey. And he put the United States so that it was balancing those three with Iran and Russia, kind of saw the United States as having the chairman of a committee that was a round table, and around that table you had the Turks, the Israelis, and the Saudis, but also the Russians and the Iranians, and the United States was kind of in between them. Obama even spoke this way. He told the Saudis that they have to learn to share the region with the Iranians, as if it's the Saudis, not the Iranians, that are the aggressive ones, and so on. And he, of course, we know he was famously hostile to Bibi Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel. Biden is shifting back to that perspective, and you can see it in a lot of ways. They've immediately gone after Saudi Arabia, lifted the designation on the Houthis. The Houthis are an Iranian proxy in Yemen, and so on. Why are they doing this? Well, what I think is really they want to roll back the successes of Donald Trump. The Middle East is one of those areas where he had, I would say, tremendous success, and success that people who were not necessarily diehard Trump supporters could see clearly. So they want to roll those back. But I think we're in an era now where there really isn't a very clear distinction between domestic and foreign policy. I pulled up a quote here for you. From Jake Sullivan, who's now the national security advisor to Biden. And this is just, he was already the national security advisor designate before he took office. And he said, we've reached a point where foreign policy is domestic policy and domestic policy is foreign policy. I think the purpose in the Middle East of Biden's foreign policy is to break the organic tie between Israel and the populist right in America. I mean, Donald Trump instinctively understood this. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump moved the embassy to Jerusalem. He recognized the Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. He presented a peace plan between the Israelis and the Palestinians that was based on totally different principles than are traditionally put forward by our national security elite. All of that was not just good foreign policy. It played at home extremely well. And that's why they want to kill this. They want to kill it because it's a It's domestic politics and foreign policy together. And I think you can go around the globe. I think you can talk about Europe and China, and you can see that actually all of Biden's foreign policies are really domestic policies designed to destroy the populist right.
That is really sort of a terrifying view of what's happening, because here in America, as you know, they're criminalizing Trump supporters, trying to throw them in jail and make villains and terrorists. I mean, that's the word, right? Terrorists out of Americans. But yet you have countries who we know support terrorism overseas, threaten our troops, threaten our national security. That doesn't seem to be a concern.
Well, you know, Julie, I look at the things like the COVID relief bill that they're putting together, and it's got very little to do with COVID. Mm-hmm. And they're using the pandemic in order to pad the wallets of the traditional Democratic constituencies, whether it's the teachers' unions or any of the public sector unions. And I think also on China policy, you know, the day after President Biden spoke with Xi Jinping, he turns around and says, well, we're competing with the Chinese. And that's a rhetoric that's similar to the Trump rhetoric. Well, how are we competing with the Chinese? We're going to build up our domestic infrastructure with regard to transportation. So, it's all about
infrastructure week.
Yeah,
it's all about
building up a statist power, centralized economic power, in order again to crush the populist right. To crush the right, I think, is the goal.
And it's interesting. Can you stay with us for a couple minutes, more minutes after we mm-hmm. have a break in a second?
Sure.
It's interesting that one of the last leaders that Joe Biden has called was Netanyahu.
Oh, yeah. The excuse that they gave for that was that the Middle East isn't the top priority and he hasn't called any Middle Eastern leader and so on. But this was nonsense. It was transparent nonsense, because the first decisions that they made were all about the Middle East, about denying arms to Saudi Arabia because of the war in Yemen and lifting the designation on the Houthis, as I mentioned. So apparently, you know, the outreach to Iran, also they announced immediately that they want to get back to the Iran deal, and they've been working in that direction. So the Middle East was important enough to make these early decisions, but not important enough to call our number one ally.
Hmm. Interesting. On the other side here, we'll talk about how Biden undermining our energy independence emboldens our foes.
You're out of touch. I'm out of time. But I'm out of my head when you're not around. You're out of touch. I'm out of time. But I'm out of my
head. Listen to podcast of the show at danproffshow.com.
Mike Duran, senior fellow with the Hudson Institute and an expert on foreign affairs, especially the Middle East. Joe Biden is quickly undermining one of Trump's greatest achievements, which was energy independence. How does that embolden our foreign adversaries when we're cutting off, you know, trying to cut off our own supply of energy, when obviously it benefits people that we shouldn't be helping?
No, I mean, absolutely. I mean, this is a great example. I mean, you're referring to the XL pipeline. And I thought that was amazing, because mm-hmm. under the rubric of return to normal, that's what Biden was saying. So now we're going to rebuild our alliances. The first thing they did was they slapped Trudeau in Canada, who's a liberal, who's not an ally of Donald Trump, but he was in favor of the XL pipeline. And similarly in Europe, one of the greatest things Trump did was to sanction the Nord Stream 2. This is the pipeline that takes Russian gas to Europe, to Germany, And there's a bipartisan consensus in the United States that Europe should not be dependent on Russia for its energy, and Nord Stream 2 was giving Russia too much leverage. So Trump took that position. I thought Biden was going to have to listen to the Democrats in Congress who don't like Nord Stream 2, but apparently he's not. All the signals are that they're going to lift all of the restrictions on Nord Stream 2. That's going to go forward, and now we're going to have a Green New Deal with Europe. So it's another way of building up these kind of state-run industries in the United States that undermine industries that support right-wing causes industries that are associated with right-wing causes, and with the effect that we're going to give Russia more leverage over Europe. It doesn't make any sense from a national security point of view.
Yeah, none of this makes any sense, except to your point that what Jake Sullivan said, that foreign policy now is domestic policy and vice versa, which is part of what you just brought up, re-enter the Green New Deal, re-entering the Paris climate. In our last minute here, who benefits from, we know, but explain a little bit, who benefits from re-entering the Paris Climate Pact?
China benefits from that the most. And, of course, at home, the Democratic Party and all of its favorite industries that are going to have their hand out for government subsidies. Let's just end with a quote. And I got another quote here for you from Jake Sullivan. This is, I don't have to analyze this because I can put it in their words. He says, he's speaking to President-elect Biden. He says, you have tasked us, that's your national security advisors, with reimagining our national security for the unprecedented combination of crises we face at home and abroad. The pandemic, the economic crisis, the climate crisis, technological disruption, threats to democracy, racial injustice, and inequality in all forms. So how do you solve inequality in all forms? You build up state industries, which the Democrats control the levers to. That's how you do it.
Well, they know what they're doing, I'll tell you. Mike Duran, the Hudson Institute, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure.
This is the Dan Proft Show.